Pastor Sherry, my kid. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. Good. Alrighty. How many of you have noticed just in life that so many people are so easily offended? Raise your hand if you've noticed people that are like ridiculously offended. Now, this one I hate to ask, but how many of you notice that there's a bunch of Christians that can sort of be even more offended? Don't raise your hand. You've noticed that one, right? Okay, don't look at anybody. Don't point at anybody. So, you know, I'm thinking, why is it that we see so many Christians, that believers, follower of Jesus, disciples, whatever you want to slap on there, that are so easily offended? So I got to thinking, I'm like, well, you know, I can be offended. Jesus told me I could be offended. I should point out your sin. I should criticize the world and all the goofy stuff that's going on. I mean, come on, it should be my job to be offended and tell you, you are making a mess. I was being sarcastic, okay? So we're going to talk about offense. Everybody go, yay, we're going to talk about offense, all right? Okay, and listen, in our culture, in society, whatever, you know, you want to call it, I am just seeing people so easily offended, easily, and they're angry. So, and you know, when they're angry, and they're angry about division, they're angry about this, they're angry about that, so it's a good time to figure out this offense thing. So years ago, I read two books. One was John Bevere's book called The Bait of Satan. Has anybody read that book? All right. And I remember doing this in a grow group, and a girl came in my group as we were going into our third week. And she goes, oh my gosh, I think I've been offended my entire life. She just saw it. Okay. And the other book I read, it was written quite a while ago, is Unoffendable by Brent Hansen. Unoffendable. So if you want to know how to not to be offended, these are two good books you could get. And I don't think I have any more of them in our bookstore. But I remember reading Hansen's book, and right in the beginning of the book, he says, you can be unoffendable. And I thought, I think I'm offended. What are you? Are you crazy? Do you know the people that I deal with all the time? Do you know that they are everywhere? They know everything, and they're just so arrogant and with their opinion, and they criticize me. Do you? Like, I think I was a little offended. Like, what? Okay. And then I kept thinking, my gosh, well, maybe I'm not that, maybe I don't get offended. You know, I have a pretty thick skin, all right? But you start talking about my babies, and you start criticizing my church, and you start betraying some of my friends, and if you start criticizing what I wore on Sunday morning and how my hair looks, I might get a little offended. So, but really, it happens. But, you know, so maybe I just might be a little offended sometimes, just sometimes, okay? And not any of you, I'm sure. But I tell you what, as I read these books, and probably once a year I'll read one of those books, and really I started digging into the scriptures, and believe it or not, God started dealing with my heart. He started pointing out things in my life on why I was so easily offended. So we're going to talk about offense, and guess what? I'm probably going to offend some of you, and that really is my goal, to offend you today. It is. It's my goal, so that maybe God will open your eyes to the things that we're holding on to, that anger us, that just, you know, bring out the not good in our lives. So we're going to talk about offense, all right? So let's pray. We better pray. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We come to you and we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and the grace that he has given us and covered us with. And Father, our prayer, or my prayer for everybody, is that you would open our eyes to the things that has caused division, and that we would be a unified as believers in the family and in the church of God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The book of James is written by James, but James was is a steps a brother, the half-brother of Jesus. And Jesus had a whole bunch of half-brothers and sisters. Yep. You know, Bible trivia that you get to play. So here we go. James chapter 1, verse 19. Ready? Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everybody go, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. If you're a believer, he's talking to you, all right? Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all, that's everyone, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Ready? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, ask myself, or better yet, ask yourself, how you doing on that assignment? How you doing on that assignment? Because he wrote this to us. How are you doing on that assignment, okay? Are you quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry? And listen, in the culture, man, nobody's listened to nobody, right? And they are so quick to speak their opinion, right? And then they are just so easily angered, all righty? But James is telling us, hey, slow to speak, quick to listen, and please, slow to anger, all righty? Now, and by the way, Jesus lived that life. Jesus lived that life, all right? Now, how many of you have an Alexis or a Google? I love my Google. Google, what time is it in California? Because I want to call my kid, and he'll tell me, all right? Google, how many more days to Christmas? I asked him that this morning. Ready? 20 days till Christmas. So I asked Google all these questions, and I even asked Google, he also knows the Bible pretty good, not really good, but I asked Google, how many questions was Jesus asked? How many questions was Jesus asked in the Gospels? And Google told me. He said that there were 183 questions that Jesus was asked. And out of those 183 questions, guess how many he answered? Now, I get that. Mom. And the 180th, I go, what? Okay, so I'm sitting here going, I get you, Jesus. But out of those 138 questions that people were asking him in the Gospels, he only answered three of them. And out of those three, listen to this, out of the 183, he really asked, then he went, and I love that. You know, somebody will ask you a question and you kind of dodge it. So this is what he did. People are asking him questions, but then he dodged it. And he asked people 307 questions. He flipped the coin. He turned it around and he started asking people questions. Well, why did he do that? He's a smart mama. No, why did he do that? Why did he flip it around and ask people so many questions? Because he was very interested in people. And he was slow to speak and quick to listen, right? All righty. So, how are you doing on your assignment? Slow to speak, quick to listen, all right, and slow to get angry, all righty? Now, you know, I think about that slow to get angry part. I was kind of thinking on that. And you know, I realized, especially a while ago, some of those things that I used to get angry and ticked and irritated about, I kind of realized they're sort of little things, such as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, can we make it through one meal without some kids spilling their milk? Because I used to go, oh my gosh, somebody spilt their milk. I used to get angry about that, okay? Or somebody would cut me off as I was driving, and I would be praying blessings down on them. Not really, okay? I like what one pastor said, praying hemorrhoids on them. I was like, yeah, I get it, okay? Or I used to... occasionally Jack and I would go out to eat and I would have a take-home box. And I'd come and put it in the refrigerator with expectations that tomorrow that was going to be my lunch. And tomorrow comes, and I opened up the refrigerator in the morning, and somebody ate my take-home box. And that used to irritate me and cause me to get angry. And you know, it kind of, and now in our culture, now those sort of now are little things. But in our culture and our society, anger has just hit the ceiling, right? Just hit the ceiling, okay? And anger's like those idiots on social media. You know, they're arguing about masks and no masks and vaccines and no vaccines and who kneeled and who didn't kneel during the national anthem. People are angry about their issues. People are angry about their issues, okay? And everybody's got issues. Raise your hand. You all got issues. Okay? And they're upset about their issues. And then, top it off, I'm upset about my issues. And then I'm upset because you didn't get upset about my issue. You're kidding me? You're a believer and you're not upset about my issue? Gosh, you know, I can feel it. You can feel it. You can feel a little agitation, a little bit. All righty? All right. So anger is kind of hitting the ceiling. It's evolving, all righty? And I just fessing up here. I can be agitated. I can get angry. But you know what? I'm pretty sure that does not please God. Amen? How many of you know that doesn't please God, all righty? So, this is not true about anybody else. This is everybody else but this church, all right? But there's some people that enjoy being angry. They're probably not, wouldn't say that they like what they're angry, but they enjoy sitting in their anger, all righty? Okay, let me give an example. So we have grow groups. How many people have been to a grow group at YCF at one time or another, right? And, you know, the purpose of the grow group is to go and get knowledge about who our God is and our Father and all that we have. And then we get friends and we grow and we encourage one another in our group. And I've seen this. Of course, nobody here. There are people that have their anger group. Yeah, they got their group. They're groupies, they're anger group. And you know, they got their social media feeds and they've got 75 people on Facebook that are in their group and they're upset about this and everybody else is posting their thing that they're angry about and they post 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 and they're all in the group of anger, all right? So they kind of got their group going. Now you think, well, I'm not like that. Well, just maybe, I'm not going to look at anybody, but just maybe you're part of the soccer moms and you all get together and you get angry about your things. And or maybe you guys, you know, it's your buddies that you go to the gym and you all get together and you all talk about your things that you're angry. All right? So, you know what I also found out? Sometimes we got this group going on and it's kind of fun. Like, it's fun to be in this group of anger because I kind of feel superior to y'all, right? Right? Because we're right and you're wrong. You're an idiot or you're stupid or you're a stupid idiot because you're not in my group. Yeah, just maybe, okay? So we're easily angered, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't please God, right? All right, so let me ask you this question. Seatbelts on, just fake the smile. Ready? How effective is your anger? Just smile so we know that I'm talking about you. How effective is your anger, right? Like, all right, okay. Are you easily angered? Is that working for you? Okay. Is it making you more like Jesus? Are you being a blessing to everybody around you? How effective is your anger, right? All right? Are you being more loving and drawing people into the joy? How effective is your anger? Well, can I give you the answer? No, it's not. It's not really effective. And listen, Scripture talks about it. So let's read James chapter 1, verse 19 again, and we'll dig into this a little deeper. James is telling us, hey, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be, what? Quick to listen. What? Slow to speak. What? Slow to get angry. Why? Verse 20. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Human anger. Your anger about little issues. Your anger about big betrayal, your anger about political views, okay? Your anger about whatever, all right? What does it say? Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. In other words, God's not pleased when we got this going on, all right? Now, you might be thinking, but Pastor D, you don't understand. My righteous anger. I have a righteous anger, Pastor D. And I'm angry because of sin. Okay, you might be. And maybe there's this righteous hatred in the Bible because of things that break God's heart. But your righteous anger, maybe it's your self-righteousness. Maybe that's what it really is, all right? So, because as Christians, you know, we can be real easy to criticize somebody's potty mouth. Oh my gosh, they got such potty mouth. And then we forget about our pride, all right? Or we're just so good at judging, oh, they're such immoral and living in sin. And we forget and we ignore gluttony or gossip in our life, all right? So it's easy to judge and we can become, but Pastor D, I've got a self-righteous anger. No, you don't. That's not it. So have I offended you yet? Good, I'm going to work on it, all righty? So, here's another thing. Oftentimes, we think our anger, I'm justified to have my anger. I can be angry. I am justified to be my anger, okay? And you know why? Because it's my anger, so I can be justified. I got this anger, I'm going to be justified, all right? Now, so how effective is your anger, right? Okay, are you drawing people to the grace and the love of God? No, all right? So is your anger bringing more joy? Is your anger bringing joy in your marriage? Is your anger being a great example for your kids to imitate as they grow up? Answer, no, all righty? So how effective is your anger? Not too good. And listen, if you're a believer, if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, okay, if you're a believer, we need to make a decision. We have to decide what to do with our anger. We are either going to point out your sin or we're going to make a difference in people. You're going to point out, oh my gosh, they didn't do this, they did that, or we're going to make a difference in people's lives. So what do you want? Point out someone's or make a difference? Let's make a difference, all right? Now, I can let my flesh hit the ceiling, hit the wall, go like this, and I can get angry, or else I can make a decision that I will let the love of God lead me, rather my emotions, all right? So you have a choice. You have to make a decision. What's going to lead you, right? All right? And, you know, when I decide I'm not going to make a point so I can make a point, I decided I was going to make a difference. I'm going to make a difference in a person's life, and I'm going to try to share the love of God and the grace of God so their life can be impacted. That's why I'm going to make a difference. How many of you want to make a difference? All right, yeah. And there's a big difference between making a point and making a difference, all right? Open up your Bibles or turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. There's this really smart guy in Matthew. He's a Pharisee. He's an expert of the law. And he asked Jesus a question, okay? And he's one of the three that Jesus answered. So he asked Jesus a question, all right? And Jesus answered. And his question was, so what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? Jesus, what's the most important thing in this world? And Jesus answers, ready? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second that's equally great and important is love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so so the guy's going, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? And this isn't just for this brilliant guy who studied the law. This is for us. The most important thing that you can do is love God with every fiber of your being. Worship him, live for him, honor him. That is the most important thing that you can do. And the way you do that is to love people. The way that you do that is to love people, okay? The way you do that is to show grace and mercy to people. The way you do that is to be have empathy for people, is to have compassion for people. The way you do that is to love other people. So you want to love God? Know the most important thing? Love God, excuse me, the most important thing is to love God and to love people. I love that song. I'm not singing today. Love God and love people. It's really easy, okay? Now, if think about Jesus, he never said, you need to be right. He never said that. You know what he said? Again, love God, love people. Love God, love people. So sometimes being right is not right, right? So do you want to point out or do you want to make a difference, all righty? A couple years back, we have a guest speaker occasionally, Todd Levin, just a good, gosh, he's been coming here for years, and I'd gone out to, a bunch of us took him out to dinner afterwards, Todd, and he was telling us that he and his family all started karate or jiu-jitsu or whatever you call that, and he had gone to like the third or fourth level in his black belt. I was like, whoa. Now, you got to know Todd's personality. So I was like, really? It's like he's even keel, right? And so we were having this conversation, and he said this, and I always remember it. He said, the best fighters are never angry. If you want to get your butt whipped, lose your cool. The best fighters are never angry. The best soldiers don't get angry in the battle. The best fighters are trained to do their job, all right? So I'm sitting there going, so wait a minute. We have an enemy. We got this crazy culture that is just so opposite of what God is. How do we go fight this darkness and this junk that's out there? Well, when you go into your battle, lead with love. Everybody write that down. Lead with love, not with anger. Lead with love, not with anger, all right? And if you're going around pointing out, you know, you should be doing that, and don't you understand this, and oh my gosh, and you're pointing that, and pointing that, and pointing that, or how about you lead with love? Just go lead with love, all right? I don't know if you ever noticed this, but people's hearts are not really changed when you are angry, when you're accusing them, when you are judgmental. Don't come at me that way. You're not going to change my heart. But you want to change hearts? How about you are compassionate? How about you have a nice discussion? How about you love? All right. That'll make a difference. That changes people. Now, some of you might think I don't really have some strong opinions, but I want to tell you, I got some strong opinions. But you know what? My strong opinions will not override the call that I have in my life to share Jesus. My strong opinions will not override the call that I have in my life, not as pastor, but as a child of God, to share Jesus. Because he's the one that changed my life. So I will stop pointing out my opinions. And I will choose. I will choose. Amen? Praise God. All right. Happy face. Here we go. How do you learn to let go of your anger that you're carrying? How do you learn to do that? All right? How do you let go of anger? How do you let go of offense? I'm going to give you two things, just two suggestions. Okay, two things and as we close up. Ready? First thing, you have to learn, number one, to lower your expectations of people. First, if you want to learn how to let go of your anger and your criticism, just lower your expectations of people. What do you mean, Pastor D? That doesn't sound so faith-based, but okay, let's be real. Sometimes There's going to be people that lie to you. Yeah. There are going to be people that betray you. There's going to be people that never say thank you for everything you've done. There's going to be people in your life that are just going to never call you back when they said they're going to call you back. And they're going to forget your birthday. And they're not going to come to your thing. And you're going to be all disappointed. Right? Okay? So, you know what I want to say? We're dealing with people. And besides, have you ever let somebody down? But again, listen, we're dealing with people, and people are, well, we say messy. People are messed up. Say that nicer. Pastor D, say it nicer. People mess up. People mess up. People sin. Oh, my God. Delaney. All right. People sin. People mess up, all right? So instead of saying, I can't believe they, you're a Christian and you did, wait a minute, how about you lower your expectation and say, wait a minute, people mess up, people sin, people do sinful things, right? And or if you are always elevating your expectation, they're just going to love me, everybody's going to love me, oh my gosh, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to have an attitude, and then you're going to get angry, and you just go down the toilet from there, okay? So turn over to 2 Timothy. If you want to know what people are really like, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and he's saying, hey, Tim. By the way, Timothy was his son of the faith. Timothy came alongside him. He mentored him. He did life with him. And then as he grew and he did all these things with the Apostle Paul, Paul gave him the biggest church ever. And he says, Timothy, I got to sit down. I want to tell you what people are like. Just so you know what people are like, all right? 2 Timothy. I'm not there. 2 Timothy 3. Here we go. You should know this, Timothy, in the last days. Okay, so people get like, Pastor D, the day Jesus died and rose again and sat up in the heavens, the clock started the last days. All right? So we're in the last days. I just had to say that. Okay. So you should know this, Timothy. In the last days, there'll be very difficult times. People will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends. They'll be reckless. They'll be puffed up with pride and love pleasure more than God. All right. And you are shocked because someone didn't call you back? Come on. All right. Okay. Guys, people are not perfect. People mess up and people sin. So lower your expectations. All right. And by the way, if you are not Jesus, you are not perfect. Everybody say, I'm not perfect. Okay. So you're going to let people down. We just do that. And by the way, I am probably going to let you down. Right? I am going to do something or say something and let you down. Why? I'm not perfect, right? I'm not perfect. And when I do let you down, please, please don't say, God's not real and the church just disappointed me. God is real and the church didn't disappoint you. I'm not perfect, okay? So, and by the way, you're not perfect. Tell the person next to you, you're not perfect. Amen. So lower your expectations, okay? All right, so get you off me, and I don't have to list all my things, and I'm not perfect. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus was never shocked at people's self-centeredness, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they were like that. No, he was never shocked. Jesus was never scandalized by immoral people's behavior. Come on, Jesus walked up to the well. There was a woman sitting there, and as because he was the Son of God, he knew, right? He knew she'd been married 5 times, and she's shacking up with another guy. And Jesus wasn't like, oh, you're one of those. Oh, I can't sit next to you. Oh, I got to go tell Peter and John so we're not gossiping. We're going to have a prayer meeting. come on. Okay, he didn't do that. He didn't judge. He wasn't offended. He wasn't shocked. He offered this lady living water, the thing that she needed. Okay, he's not scandalized by people's behaviors, okay? And then we have these disciples, these 12, and they're like 3-year-olds. I want to sit next to Jesus. I'm the guy. Who's going to be the one that's going to be the sitting in the kingdom next to you? Who's going to be the best disciple? You know, it's sort of like, who's calling shotgun? That's my analogy for today. My kids would be screaming. This is these disciples that were hanging out with Jesus. And if I was Jesus, I would be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to chuck them off the roof. Don't they know? I like, yeah, okay. Don't they know who they are? Don't they know I am? I'm the Son of God. I'm holy. I'm blameless. You guys, would you just chuck your attitude and go hide in the corner? And Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't quit the group. Jesus didn't plaster it all over Facebook. Nope. He didn't do that. He forgave them. And he loved them, that bunch, all right? And then we've got Peter. Peter's one of the big three in the inner circle. And Peter's just kind of boasting, Jesus, I'm your guy. Jesus, you know, Jesus, they're all squirrely and I'm not. Jesus, you know, anything you need, I'll be there, Jesus. Jesus, you know, they're probably going to just flake out on you, but listen, I'll never deny you. I'll always stand with you. Jesus, I'm your guy. And wait a minute, he's a liar because Peter lied. Listen, he denied him. He betrayed him. He stabbed him in the back. And what did Jesus do? He forgave him, and he kept loving Peter so much that he gave him his next assignment. Peter, go feed my sheep. All right. So, by the way, who lives inside of you? Jesus. All right, so we can be doing this, all righty? So how do you get over your anger and offenses? Lower your expectation. Remember, people mess up. People sin, all right? And don't be shocked by what they're doing. You know, every once in a while I used to say, oh, man, I heard it all. And then something happens, and I was like, wait a minute, it's people. People just, they do things. They disappoint you, all right? So here's number two. Praise God. Number two. So raise your gratitude for the grace of God, all right? So we're going to lower our expectation because people are people. But how about we raise our gratitude, thankfulness for the grace of God? So raise your hand if you've never sinned. Raise your hand if you've never lied. Raise your hand if you've never cussed. Raise your hand if you've never, you know. Okay. Nobody raise your hand? Okay. So, we're not perfect people, but how are we made right with God? How are we made right with God? Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. All right? So we're not perfect, but how are we made right with God? This is Paul, and I got to tell you, this is the verse that brought me to faith in my Savior. It's a really good verse, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace. Everybody say God's grace. It is by God's grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourself. It's not because you were good. It's not because you were holy. It's not because you got it all together. It's not because you went to church. It's not because of you, okay? Praise God. It's not. But what is it? It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God, not by works that anyone should boast. So this new life, the person that you are, that you're now right with God, is because of God's grace, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his goodness, his mercy, his forgiveness. It's because of what Jesus did for you, because he was perfect and sinless, that he took all of perfect, messed up people and he made us right with God. Everybody just go, thank you, God. Thank you. Father, I thank you that because of Jesus, I'm right with you. I am right with you. And you know, probably a lot of people know, that I'm not perfect, but in your sight, I have been made holy, blameless, without sin, and you see me as perfect. And I thank you. That never changes. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I am so loved by you because of what Jesus did for me. Amen? Shoo! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Okay. So you might say, yeah, but Pastor D, I have a right to be angry. People lie about me. This person lied about me. My sister lied about me. Raise your hand if you've never told a lie. Come on, we've all lied one time or another. Yeah, but they are so arrogant. You never had an arrogant day in your life? Let me talk to your spouse. Okay? Ready? All right. I don't know about you, but I need the grace of God in my life. The grace is that thing that he did that made me right with God. All right. Oh, I was supposed to do this. Raspberries. Okay. You know, I have notes. I have post-it notes on my mirror at home, and I have 5 post-it notes to do the same thing on my desk, and I have one in the kitchen. And, I know. Lane, go outside and get me a rock. I need one. One that's like this big. Not too big. Yeah, okay. All right. I was going to do that. Okay. I'm supposed to pick up my rock. All right. Well, he's getting me my rock, but then holding my hand. You know, we talk about anger. We talk about offense. And I never want to minimize what you may have been through. We're so professional. Thank you. Okay. I don't ever want to, and some of you, I could weep that you've been betrayed, that you have been wrongly talked about, and you've been disappointed with people, all right? And there's probably, and there is, some real significant hurt because of all of that, okay? And maybe somebody abused one of your kids. Maybe your spouse was leading a double life. Total betrayal, okay? And there's deep hurts, all right? But no matter the level of the hurt or the offense or the anger, we can have this thought, I'm right to be angry. I got a right to be angry. We can have that thought. I got a right to be angry because of this, this, and this, okay? I got a right because I'm right and they're wrong. I'm right and they're wrong, and I'm justified in my anger. We can have that thought, okay? But if you're not careful, you will think, you will but justify that I have a right to hold this stone, okay? Now, I may not throw it at you. Talk about one of my kids, I might. Okay? You betray me, and I might just hold this just to remind you. I'm a good aim. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm justified in my anger. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm justified to hold this rock. Turn over to, well, just write this down. John chapter 8, because it's a whole chapter, all right? All right. My anger gives me a right to hold this stone, all right? John chapter 8, there's this woman that's caught in a scandalous act. By the way, it takes two. You know, okay, she and this guy are caught in the act of adultery, all right? And then there's this group, you know, the angry group of men, they're all together, and they go to Jesus, and they go, and they're holding their stones, and they go, she deserves to die. She deserves to get stoned. She's sinned, Jesus. And Jesus was not shocked by what she did. He didn't judge her for what he did. He didn't get offended by what he did. She wasn't like, ah! What does he do? He kneels on the ground, bends down on the ground. He starts scribbling in the dirt. And praise God, doesn't tell you what he wrote, all right? It doesn't say, but tradition says, if you read, you know, Bible commentaries, tradition says, is he wrote everybody's sin down that was in the angry group that was holding the stone. So, but we don't know. He scribbled in there, and he stands up, and he looks at them, and he says, okay, you who have never sinned, you can throw the stone. You who have never sinned, you can throw the stone. And the Bible says, from the oldest to the youngest, they did the walk of shame. Right? Right? Okay, that's what happened, okay? And essentially, Jesus is saying to them, hey, you're angry. You're angry, and you're right because she sinned, and you think you're right that you can throw this? Oh, if you've never sinned, go ahead. All right, so in this world that we live in, there are some incredible injustices. And really, from day one till the day Jesus comes back, there will be that. Because we have an enemy, we live in a cursed earth. But there are some horrible injustices that break the heart of God. I don't even know them. And some days, I don't even want to know them. Because they just make me want to weep, cry, and throw up, okay? Okay, so there's terrible injustices, all right? And it is easy to become righteously angry about that. But have you never sinned? Okay? Have you never had somebody just totally, have you never disappointed someone, betrayed somebody, lied about somebody? Okay? So we need to remember, I have been made right with God. Not because I was so good, not because I went to church, not because of anything that I did. I have become right with God. Okay, so how about we drop the rock, right? Drop the rock. Drop your anger. Drop your offense. Drop your ticked, all right? How about we just drop all of that and we lead with love instead of anger? And we cover people, it says cover them with a multitude, cover those with a multitude of sin, all right? So how about, everybody say, drop the rock, drop your anger, drop your accusations and offense, praise the Lord, all right? Jesus did not call us to be right, he called us to love. Jesus did not call you to be right, he called you to love, all righty? And I don't know about you, but my goal is not to point out, I'm working on it. Okay, but my goal is not to point out, how about my goal is to make a difference in people's lives, to tell them about somebody who has already forgiven them, already is standing at the door to welcome them into this forgiven and good life. How about that's my goal? How about that's our goal? Amen? All right, so Jesus was what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to angry. So maybe our assignment is to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And because we're on a mission. You're on a mission. You know, people pray, oh God, please do this. He's done everything. Sitting up there, he's waiting for you to do it. All right? And if we are leading in anger, we are not doing what we need to do. And there are people who told me that the other day. Where was I talking to? I had the mind of Christ. Anyway, they said, you know, the worst thing, who's you? Is to, someone dies and, whatever. Come on. Yeah. Was really. All right, I'll give you the Cashman version. All right. The worst thing would be to wake up in the morning and realize somebody died that night that I could have shared love with instead of, they're such a ridiculous, stupid idiot. Do you know? That would be the worst thing, is to wake up and to know that they passed away and I could have been the person that dropped the stone, because really, all right, and told them how much. Well, how about tell them what God has done in your life and what God has for their life? Amen. So, this is such a joyful message, but I am getting you out of here 15 minutes early. Everybody turn around. Turn around, look there. They got me a clock. I told Lane, if you want to get me anything, and actually I'm going to pay for it. I want it. All I want is the big numbers. Just makes me happy. I don't want chocolate. I really don't. And I don't want a bicycle. I really don't. I just wanted my numbers. So praise the Lord. Everybody happy? All right. Okay. So, how do I finish this? Praise the Lord. Hey, let's pray. Let's pray. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to lead with love. We're going to lower our expectations because people aren't perfect and neither are we. And we're going to raise the gratitude for the grace of God in our life and the same that God has for others. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to hearts. Father, on areas that, I finally have answers that I can let go. I can drop the stone. I thank you that you have forgiven us of our anger and our offenses. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you just continue to lead us to be compassionate, to have empathy, to have grace and love for others. Thank you. I was going to say, raise your hand, but... You know, if you've struggled in these areas, just say, Lord, that's been me. And I just dropped the rock. And I thank you the same way you have brought me and made me right through Jesus, I will do to others. I will do to others because of what you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one more. Don't move. I'm getting you out of here early. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know that you've been made right with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you don't know that He has done everything and He's standing there with His arms open and He's saying, come to me. And you're carrying this ridiculous shame and who knows what junk. I just want to tell you that Jesus died for you to take that and carry it off of you so that you could be in the family, His family, be a child of God in the family of God. And all your sins have been forgiven. It's just, you need to receive it. So I want to ask, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life to be that, to be your Savior, and you don't remember a time and you're like, Lord, I am tired of my life and all that I carry. And today, I'd like to just drop it and I'd like to be your child, to have a relationship with you, to know that you've always got me front and back and all around. If that's you and you'd like to receive Jesus, it's real simple. I love it. He just said, whoever calls on the name of Jesus, you'd be saved. Whoever would believe in their heart that God sent His Son Jesus to die for you, if you would believe that He has forgiven all your sins, if you would believe that He's Savior and yet ask Him to come into your life, if you would believe and ask and receive, it's that simple. So is there anybody here? Everybody's closed. Close your eyes. Just, no one's looking around. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, would you pray for me? I would love to pray for you. I would love to bring you into that. I see that hand. Praise God. I'd love to just bring you into that relationship. Is there anybody else that today you'd say, I'd like to receive Jesus? Praise God. And the second one is, you've prayed and you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but man, life just swooshed you all over here and you've just forgotten to put Him in back in your life, forgotten to make Him every day. And you just drifted. And you'd say today, Lord, I am tired of being over here and drifted, and I just want to come back. Come back. Well, all you have to do is just say, Lord, I'm sorry and I'm back, so I'm going to pray for you too. But how about we all pray this prayer together? So many of you have prayed this. So many of you have asked the Lord. But let's pray this out loud. And that person there that raised their hand, you pray this with us and you pray it out loud that you can hear it. And you simply pray it from your heart. Okay, you just pray it from your heart and God will do all that He does. But how about everybody say this? Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, to take my sins and all my mess ups and wash them away. Today, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. and I will follow you all the days of my life. If you prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God. You may not have snot coming out of your eyes and feel anything, but the Bible says if you call on the name of Jesus, you are a child of God. You are forever His. And if you have just drifted, you just simply say, Lord, I know I have put you away, but today I put you back into my life. You're number one. You're my priority, and I'm going to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope I offended you. But y'all have a wonderful week. If you would like prayer for anything, I've got some altar ministers and elders that are up here. Would love to pray the prayer of agreement. Anything else I'm supposed to remember to say? All right. Have a great day. Amen.